Good afternoon. We call the January 14th, 2020 school board meeting to order, the first one of this decade. Wow. Happy New Year, everyone. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all. Again, welcome to a new decade. It is a pleasure to see all of your smiling faces after the holiday. Hopefully, each of you were able to get some rest. I did, and so hopefully you did too. I'd like to introduce my colleagues at the dais. To my left, I have Mr. Carl Persis from District 4, Mr. Ruben Colon from District 5, our school board attorney, Mr. Ted Doran. To my far right, I have two agency clerks, one that's brand new and another one that's leaving us, oh Lord. Mrs. Erin Lieberman, our new agency clerk, and Mrs. Connie Spire. Mrs. Jamie Haynes, representing District 1, Mrs. Linda Cuthbert, representing District 3, and our vice chairman, our brand new superintendent to some. Many of you met him at our meeting in December, but if you did not, Dr. Scott Fritz, our new superintendent, and I'm Ida Wright, representing District 2, and I'm your chairman for this year. Items for approval on this agenda are items 4.01, 6.02, 7.01, 18.01, 19.01, 21.01, 21.02, 23.02, and 24.01. We have public participation times for this agenda, for any item on this agenda at 5 p.m. for general interest pertaining to public education of Volusia County. Times will be provided for public comments on the action items before a board vote is taken. Time will be provided at the end of the meeting for public comments of items of general interest pertaining to public education in Volusia County before items of the board, superintendent, or the attorney for discussion. The district vision statement and board comments at this time. I'm going to open the floor starting to my left with Mr. Persis as he welcomes in the new year. Mr. Persis.
Thank you, Chairman Wright, and Happy New Year to everybody as well. Well, I have some great news to share, and that is the chorus, the choir at Seabreeze High School. Last year, they were in a competition over at Universal Studios called the Heritage Festival, and they came in second place from the state competition. And as a result of that, they received an invitation from Carnegie Hall in New York City to perform there. Well, that's awesome news. And so I found out about this probably the middle of October, November sometime. And as with everything, when students get a trip like this, it costs money. And this particular trip will cost the students around $1,800 each. And, of course, I was contacted to see if I could help in any way to have some fundraising to make sure all 30 of these students get to New York City. The trip, the students will be there March 21st, 22nd, right around that time period. So that's very exciting, and I just wanted you to know that the owners of the Hard Rock Hotel in Daytona Beach have decided that they would like to help the Seabreeze Choir get to New York City. So they're having a concert this Saturday night. 8 p.m., a free concert, and all the proceeds, donations, will go to the Seabreeze Choir. There's a footnote to this, and that is the members of the band who are playing, there's a rock band called Grey, G-R-E-Y-E, Grey. They're very, very popular. And all of the members of the band are either graduates of Seabreeze High School or are employees at Seabreeze High School, and it gets even better. The drummer of the band is Seabreeze High School Teacher of the Year this year, and that is Ray Gramand. And Ray teaches construction technology at Seabreeze. And of course, the Teacher of the Year banquet is this Friday night, and then Ray and the rest of Gray will be playing at the Hard Rock. So there's just a short little video we'd like to show you, and tells a little bit about Seabreeze.
Passion, we all seek joy,
we all bruise,
we all scar,
we all fail,
but we learn to
God. So that's the Seabreeze choir, and just wanted to make a couple more comments. Number one, when it says they're going to be the featured choir, there are other high school choirs that are going to be there, maybe I think 9 other schools, but Seabreeze was chosen to have 15 minutes on stage by themselves as the featured choir. So it is quite a group of students. If you'd like to help fund those listening through the internet, there is a GoFundMe link. And a lot, like I said, we're just trying to get all those kids there. So you can see their Facebook page, Seabreeze High School Vocal Group, and just search around and you'll find it. Hope everyone can attend. But just wanted to say how proud I am, school board members, as I know you all are, and Dr. Fritz, for these students and their teacher. I got to say, the teacher's name, of course, teacher's name is Julia Hood. So congratulations to Julia Hood and to her students. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Persis. And if any of you want to donate today before you leave, just make sure you see Mr. Persis, and we'll get that taken care of today. Moving right along, Mr. Cologne.
So yesterday I had the pleasure of traveling to Tallahassee and joining dozens of our teachers as we marched to the Capitol asking our legislature to fund our future. And I'm sure you all have seen all of the media coverage, the amazing signs if you haven't seen it. Actually, there was, and I have a picture for you, Linda, one of your students spoke who, I heard she was one of your students, who is at FSU, I believe it was?
She's the president of
UFS. Oh, sorry. Yeah, yes, and so she said, oh, that's one of Linda's students. I said, yeah, I know, everybody's been a student of Linda's, or Jamie's, or went to Carl's school, or went to FAMU, right? Or Bethune, sorry. And so... And so, we marched to the Capitol. And so we marched to the Capitol, and there were over, I believe they estimated it at right around 15,000 folks out there. And so it was a victory. I reached out to some of my legislative friends, and I said, So did you guys realize we were there? And they were like, oh, yeah. And so I, you know, now it's the hard work begins as session starts. And I know Dr. Fritz is going to be up there this week meeting with our legislators, as well as we will be up in Tallahassee next week meeting with our legislative delegation and those who are friends of education. One of the things that the Reverend Al Sharpton said was that education, you know, and there's always the elephant in the room, but he said education should not be a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent thing. It should be a right or wrong thing. And that was very impactful. So, again, thank you, Elizabeth and View, for it was really cool because they had these little beanie caps. And so you see these folks coming with these beanies, and then finally it was like, man, that stuck out. You want to see where Volusia County was? Find someone with a red beanie on, okay? And so it was awesome. So I'm still blown away by that, and I am looking forward to next year.
Thank you. Mr. Doran?
Yeah, so this is one of those rare occasions where I actually do have something to say. that's not nice. Some 20 years ago, when I became the school board attorney, I sat down at this in this spot, and there was a folder in front of me that looked like it had been around for 50 years, and I promptly threw it away. I was asked for it and learned that I had just discarded school board property. So as a result, I purchased a folder for everyone at the dais, all board members and superintendent, and it has become a tradition that every new school board member, every new superintendent that has served in the last 20 years gets one of these folders with their name engraved on it, and this one says R.S. Fritz, and so I would like to present this to Dr. Fritz. So 20 years from now, when you've decided to retire and don't want to be a superintendent anymore, you get to take that with you as a memory.
Thank you so much. Moving on. Jamie Haynes.
I would just like to say I'm looking forward to this school year. I know that we're at the halfway point, but it's a new fresh start for all of us, and Happy New Year to everyone.
Thank you. Linda Cuthbert.
Right before our Christmas break, I was very blessed to have shared being a hostess at Chisholm Elementary to tour for Artona and Osceola Elementaries to tour Chisholm to see what a new school could really be, could be like, the feel of it, the visual, the sounds, the smells, and it went very well. So I wanted to thank our planning department, Mrs. Morrissey, and Mr. Brown, thank you so much for all your help and all the project managers who showed. It just shows what Volusia County is capable for, not just excellence in the classroom, but excellence in building as well. So thank you. I also want to say thanks to Dr. Fritz. I got to tour with him at New Smyrna Beach High School when he was touring some Southeast Volusia schools, and it was nice to show off a school in which I taught for quite a long time. I was glad to be present along with Mr. Colon and Mrs. Wright at our Volusia County PTA Reflections Arts Ceremony up at the Daytona Arts Museum. It's fabulous, the talent of our little ones, even kindergartners. There are so many kindergartners who have participated. We're just adorable. And then it's always remarkable when we are able to celebrate a school year. You realize graduation is 4.5 months away. And it's just astounding that 20 years has passed since the class of 2000. And I remember everyone making a big to-do about the class of 2000. And for 20 years to have passed already so quickly, must be I'm having a good time. Mm-hmm. So I just want to congratulate all of our seniors in our school district to continue the hard work to make it, because they're so close to that payday, so very close. And I know their parents are as well. So thank you and Happy New Year.
Thank you. And I ditto the sentiments of my colleagues. Dr. Fritz and I have had somewhat of a busy week already, And we are very proud of our graduation rates. And so we want to give our teachers, our administrators, and our administration a hand of applause. Moving to item 2.01, are there any agenda item changes?
Yes, Madam Chair. I'd like to move 3.02 to 3.03 because the members of the Envirothon team are stuck in traffic.
Okay.
So give them a little time to get here.
No problem. Colleagues, any changes to the agenda? Hearing none, is there take a motion to approve the agenda as printed?
Move
the
approval.
One correction. Thank you.
Second.
Motion has been properly moved and second. Any additional conversation? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. Ayes have it, and the motion is carried. Move to recognitions. First one, Mrs. Amy Monahan, STEM specialist. And Ms. Jane Pfeiffer, who I worked with years ago.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Superintendent Fritz, School Board Chairman Wright, and board members. Tonight, I am honored to celebrate with each of you three separate recognitions that have been earned through hard work and dedication in the areas of STEM and science. Tonight, we celebrate the accomplishments of a group of Volusia County students who have also won a state competition. The first recognition tonight is for Mrs. Amy Monahan. Amy is our district STEM specialist who is credited with introducing STEM K-12 to Volusia County Schools 8 years ago when we were able to hire her through Race to the Top. Remember that, Grant? It's a long time ago. It was at that point that we started talking about STEM in the classrooms with robotics and STEM fests and all kinds of competitions, and now we're doing hackathons and gaming and all kinds of great things. One of the wonderful things she's done is she's made great relationships with our universities as well as built business partners that are now partners with our schools as well. We are pleased to announce that Amy was presented by the VMA, the Lewis Pfeiffer Friend of Industry Award. This award is presented to the VMA service partner who has done the most to further the interests of manufacturing and the VMA. At this time, I'm pleased to introduce the CEO of the VMA, who you already know, Jane Pfeiffer, to explain a little bit more about the award and why Amy was chosen.
Okay. So VMA, if you don't know, we're a 40-year-old trade association working with our local manufacturers in Volusia, Flagler, and surrounding counties. Our job is to connect our manufacturers to each other and to the community. Since 2010, we have donated over $300,000 to the area schools in the form of 3D printers, CNC machines, tools, guidance counselor tours, and much more, but they told me I only have 3 minutes. And we do this because the manufacturers are in dire need of skilled workers. We are successful in connecting your teachers and your system because you have a powerhouse. The can-do, get-the-job-done, dependable, enthusiastic, amazing Amy Monahan. As was said, she was awarded. She was recognized at our awards banquet on December 5th. She and I have worked with so many projects through the years that weren't even on VMA, just STEM stuff to get the word out about how important STEM was. Like the robo-boat competition, and she's willing to do it in June. Or mm-hmm. I'm not willing to do it in June anymore. But she has been involved with the VMA for many years, being a conduit between the organizations, helping each accomplish its goal of connecting manufacturers and educators. She is an active member of the VMA Education Committee, tasked with approving the teacher grant requests, adding significant insight on how to best distribute the funds, maximizing both organizations' resources. She delivers supplies and money collected at the last year's teacher supply drive. She helped coordinate the manufacturing means measuring campaign when we sent manufacturers into 14 schools to teach the importance of measuring and showing the practical application in their businesses. So, Ruben, you were doing that, too. We had everybody we could think of. This year, our goal is to go into every third-grade classroom in both Volusia and Flagler counties. She worked on the inaugural robot brawl committee, ensuring the competition rules and field met specifications. She helped communicate the competition to the schools, bringing in 31 robots in 9 schools. She marketed the event through every communication channel in the school system. On the day of the brawl, she coordinated, and this is, she's, it was insane, and she coordinated the competition getting, she was in the bullpen, and she got the robots and the kids to where they were supposed to go. It was a smashing success, to quote her words. We had over 1,000 people in attendance at that event, and each of the schools received hundreds and thousands of dollars in prize money that day. This year, the Robot Brawl Committee plans a boot camp for the teachers in April. Amy's already picked out that date to get them prepped for this year's October 3rd Robot Brawl. Because of Amy and her dedication, even more people know that VMA rocks. You should all be very proud of her, because we are.
Yeah. And congratulations again, my darling.
Thank you. I'd like to take a picture with both of them.
Yes.
Ms. Monahan and Ms. Pfeiffer, we're going to take a photo with you also. Can you, as soon as we finish with the recognitions, okay? Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Amy is a superstar. Next, I would like to introduce a second superstar. And as the former science specialist, I had the honor of working closely with both of them. At this time, I would like to introduce Louise Chapman, who is our teacher on assignment, or environmental. Okay.
Just one moment. We're going to go to item 3.03, Superintendent Fritz.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. I'd like to bring up Jennifer Taylor, our coordinator for secondary curriculum and school improvement, and Mr. Jeremy Blinn, secondary science specialist.
And now,
thank you. So you're going to hear about some other wonderful things that Louise Chapman has done for this district in our next recognition as well. But for this one, I want to just sort of talk about the one that she just, a grant she just won from Motorola for $5,000 on a project that she submitted called Can We Clean Microplastics Out of the Water in the World? And I'm going to leave it to the expert to share a little bit about her research and what this means to the students of Volusia County Schools.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for letting me come. And as always, it's a team effort. Futures, Duke, and them would love to be here, but tomorrow, Friday night, is Teacher of the Year Banquet, and they were in great. But this Motorola grant is for microplastics, and whether you're aware or not, but in every bottle of water you're drinking, there are small beads and small fibers. But they're also in every piece of food you eat, in every kind of water you drink, in every animal you eat, whether it be oysters. And so what we are doing is working out with the county, and all of the students are doing research on where are microplastics found, how many, and what kind. Because there's been a lot of pushback from bottled water companies and things about microplastics, and we know they're accumulating in our oysters. So we have students who are dissecting oysters to see what's inside them, doing great research. We're working with Project H2O, and the students are the primary researchers in the field. And we know more about microplastics in Volusia County than we do anywhere else in the world, and that's the result of all of the high schools working on microplastics. And this grant will allow every high school to research in their own area, whether it's Deltona, DeLand, where they're not near, and any kind of water. Peanut butter, baby foods, everything has microplastics. All of our toothpaste, if you use whitening toothpaste, what you're scrubbing with are microplastics, and they don't ever break down, so they're always in the environment. And now we're concerned about them accumulating in human beings. They also attract toxins, so when you swallow them, you're inadvertently putting in poisons in your body. So that's the student part of it, and we couldn't do it without the extra funding, because it costs about $600 to $1,000 for one setup, just to give you an idea.
Wow. Amazing.
That's very interesting.
Well, if you haven't had an opportunity, and I think Jeremy would say the same, It's quite the day. I know some of you have already been and been out to Project IDIS out at Rose Bay with Louise, and every time you go out there, you will learn something new. And the enthusiasm of her students and her teachers is just, it's infectious. So I strongly encourage you to get a hold of Louise and go out with your area school and go learn, because it's just fascinating. So,
and I have to be honest and say that I wouldn't be doing any of this, because I'm very out of the box, obviously, without Jeremy Blinn and Jennifer Taylor, who have been both my bosses, because I lead a very unique life, as many of you know. So you are more than welcome any day. We have students from all 10 high schools every day of the year at one of the three sites. We do Spruce Creek Park, Marine Discovery Center, and the Lione Environmental Center, with cooperation with the county. So we actually have classrooms in all the parks and things.
Mm-hmm. You get fun calls in the middle of the night as her supervisor, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Especially when the weather's fun.
When the weather's fun,
when the weather's real fun, yeah.
So congratulations, Louise.
Thank you.
Yes, congratulations.
You
can stay put. Do you?
Yes. I see our students in the back. Okay.
So,
we're back,
so we'll go back up to item 3.02, Superintendent Fritz.
Yes, we'd like to bring our students forward with the Envirothon team from Spruce Creek. I see a couple yellow shirts in the back. I assume that's our team, and I see our sponsors coming up. And Jennifer's going to stay right at the table, and so is Ms. Chapman.
All good news tonight. I'm so lucky. The next recognition is for Spruce Creek High School's 2019 Envirothon team. They are supported tonight by their assistant principal, Dr. Porter, Louise Chapman, the district Envirothon regional fair director, Jeremy Blinn, the science specialist, and of course, their leads, Josh Platt and Merrick Johnson, who are their team leads. The Spruce Creek Envirothon team, they name themselves the Advancing Glaciers. They include Alejandro Morales, Grace Liu, Meryl Liu, Melody Palmer, and Scott Tobin. The alternates include Nami Pruitt and Chloe Horncastle. They are led, of course, by their advisors, Josh Platt and Merrick Johnson, and the parent sponsors, which the parents are always so important in events like this, Ann Tobin. I am pleased to announce not only were they our regional winners, but they went on to take first place at the state of Florida. Yay. If you are not familiar with Envirothon, it's a competition that tests the content knowledge in different environmental disciplines, as well as the application of the knowledge with testing of specific skills and techniques that are used in the field. And each member of the team takes on a special area that they are then tested in the field with. There's also a competition where they are asked sort of like a brain ball of questions as well about the impacts of the environment. So at this time, I would like to actually have Josh Platt sort of elaborate on the competition itself, and then we're going to invite a few students just to talk about their experiences and what it meant to them. So I'm going to step out of the way. Invite the important people.
So I just wanted to speak a little bit to the competition, but also Spruce Creek's history in the competition as well. This is my 17th year teaching at Creek, and 15 of those years I've taken teams to the regional Envirothon here in Volusia County. We, for a long time, didn't make it past that, and then for about the last 10 years we've been able to go to the state competition. Except for one of those years. And so we've been going to this level for a long time, and we've had dedicated students who've been working on this, and it's really hard once the students get to the state level to progress past that. With this particular group of kids, it was a special group, and I think what was really different about this time is they really worked together as a team. While there are five areas of expertise, they all helped each other out the whole way through, which I think if you were to ask them specifically, that was really the key to their success. So from the state Envirothon, the students were able to go to the National Envirothon. The National Envirothon has its roots all the way back in the late 1970s. It actually started in the state of Pennsylvania, and it was just to get kids aware of their local environment and familiar with the world around them. Within the next decade, other states were recruited, and by 1988, it was the National Envirothon. And the National Envirothon since then has grown to include countries, other countries that bring teams. So this past year they competed against teams from China. And so it's a really large event, and the ability for them to just get out of the state of Florida, I think, is really impressive. But they were, what place again? 16th place in the country once they got to the national competition. So as much as, you know, I helped a little bit to kind of get them there, and Mr. Johnson helped tremendously to get them there, it's really the students that did this, because I've been a constant for 10 years and we never made it there. These students these students are what's different. So instead of hearing from me, we wanted to take this opportunity to let you guys hear from the true experts here, which is the team that we have.
Hi, I'm Scott. Last year was my first year actually being able to do Envirothon, and it's truly a blessing that we were able to go up to the University of Florida's research center and see all that they had going on there. It was definitely something that could be a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and we really enjoyed we were able to camp out there, and hopefully we can do it again this year.
All right, so I'm Alejandro Morales. I specialize in soils on the team, and I've been doing Envirothon since freshman year. I'm now a senior. My first year, it was just sort of a fun thing that I didn't really put too much effort in, and I think it really showed, if you ask Mr. Platt. But the next 3 years, I started actually seeing it as something that I really cared about, and every year our team progressed more until last year we won states, and we went on to nationals, and that was an insane experience in North Carolina. And let me tell you, it was great, but we couldn't have done it not only without Mr. Platt, who's a great coach, and Mr. Johnson, who stepped in for Mr. Platt when he couldn't go with us to nationals and was able to stay a week with us during that time and was, like, the best. But we couldn't have done it without Ms. Chapman and her resources. And also in the back of the room, I saw some people from the Soil and Water Conservation District of Volusia. And the resources that they gave us and that they still give us to this day are one of the reasons that we feel lucky enough to be able to make it all the way to nationals. And we're hoping to do that again this year. Yeah. And maybe win it this time. Good. Probably.
Well, I'm Meryl Lou, and last year was actually my first year that I ever did an Envirothon. It was actually Alejandro that told me to join one day at Open House, and I was like, you know what, since I'm usually a biology and chemistry person, I didn't know anything about environmental science, so I was like, this might be a good experience, might be a really good experience for me. We started at regionals, and I never imagined that I'd ever make it from regionals to state all the way to nationals, but it was a very competitive and prestigious experience for me. I was able to learn a lot of things about my personal specialization, which was wildlife, which covers conservation biology, ecology, and taxonomy. But also at nationals, we were able to meet such a very diverse mix of people. We were meeting people all the way from Alberta, Canada, and from China. They have an IB program there, which is kind of cool. And not only that, but we spent countless hours over the summer cramming and studying, and even the nights before when we were camping in Suwannee River Valley Park around the campfire trying to memorize our presentations, or the night before when they locked us in a room for 6 hours to prepare a 20-slide presentation. All of those were extremely valuable experiences to us, and we honestly didn't expect a lot of them, but they were pretty competitive. So I think that in the future, Volusia and Spruce Creek will continue to inspire a tradition of STEM excellence and inspire others to do the same.
Congratulations. It's truly a great day to be a hawk.
Now, we have one young lady. Did she not want to speak?
I'm Chloe Horncastle. I didn't. Unfortunately, I was just an alternate. I didn't get to go to nationals, but I did go to states, and I did get placed with the other alternates that went. And it was so good to have a diverse group of people from all around the state of Florida. We all worked together, and it definitely was about teamwork that really brought everyone together. And it definitely is a one of a lifetime experience. And we were all there for competitive reasons, but I think we were all there for one collective reason, which is bettering ourselves and becoming more informed on the environment and being able to inform others. And I'm very excited to go again next year, this year, I mean, and and I can't wait.
Yay. Okay, great.
Anybody else?
I do want to say, excuse me, that not only to give credit to Spruce Creek, but we are the only Envirothon regional that is just one school district and just all our high schools that participate. And yet we won at state and did really, and without the support of the school board and all of our partners, because we raise all the money for this, every single high school participate. Last year we had more kids in our regional from 10 high schools than they did from 5 counties just south of us. And I got calls to see if we could explain how we won. And I was like, it's because of our students and teachers. But I'm not sending them to you.
Thank you.
But the bottom line is I wanted you to know how important it was that we have teachers and they volunteer their time, the students volunteer their time. We volunteer our time, and the community people who create the tests, like the soil and water, the fish and wildlife, the park, our county forester, they design the tests, give the tests, and give their time to the students and come out all pro bono on their weekends and evenings. So it's an amazing, amazing experience. I invite you all to come February 8th to Spruce Creek Park from 8 to noon, and you'll see kids from every high school. You'll see these guys. They're determined to win, but some of the other schools are determined to beat them this year. So you can come out and see the competition and the people from the community. Thank you.
Great news. Don't go far because we would like to take a photo. But did we hear that we had one of our sponsors in the audience?
Soil and Water.
From Soil and Water?
Futures, Duke Energy, Riverside Conservancy, and then we have the Volusia County Soil and Water Board, and we have forestry, the county foresters, Volusia County Environmental, and all of those people give their time and also help support the purchase. And when we get a chance, we have t-shirts for all of you for this year's Envirothon that are just hot off the presses, okay?
Thank you. We'll make sure we reach out and say thank you, but I wanted to acknowledge our guests if they were still here. We have one additional recognition, Superintendent 3.04.
Yes. For this recognition, I'd like to call forward Ms. Amanda Elzey, Behavioral Initiative Specialist, Mr. Lonnie Tidmarsh, the principal for Timber Crest Elementary, and Ms. Lynn Bruner, principal of Osceola Elementary.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, distinguished school board members, and welcome to you, Superintendent Fritz. Welcome to Volusia County.
Thank you.
Glad to have you. My name is Dr. Mandy Elzey, and I am the district coordinator for our Positive Behavior Intervention and Support Project. Just to let you know, we established a collaboration with the state project out of the University of South Florida in 2011-12 school year. And we currently have 22 active schools. That number fluctuates from year to year as we add more, and then some choose not to participate for various reasons, but we try to keep them on board as long as possible. I'm here with the distinguished principals of Osceola Elementary and Timbercrest Elementary. Osceola was chosen as a PBIS model school in the school year 2016-17. The basis for that selection is they are accredited through the project, and it's based on the reductions in their discipline data, the implementation. They keep data throughout the year to monitor their implementation of the projects, as well as some outcome data such as reductions in out-of-school suspensions and discipline referrals, as I spoke. And the 2017-18 school year, Timbercrest Elementary was also chosen as a PBIS model school based on those same criteria. Both of the schools have been model schools since they were initially selected, so we're very pleased and proud of them for that implementation. At this point, I want to turn it over to Ms. Lynn Bruner, who is going to speak about the implementation at Osceola Elementary School.
You can just take one and pass it around just for the hard copy. I
I did a PowerPoint, but I didn't bring it to. I'll be happy to share it. I just wanted a visual for you, because I certainly can't take the credit. It's the school. This is my. I've been at Osceola a year and a half, so I'll wind back the clock a little bit. I'll talk about the cover sheet in a minute. I'm going to be quick because I know everyone's time is precious. Just want to give you a good snapshot of PBIS at Osceola. So if you'll just turn to the first page, go past the cover sheet, and right into the PowerPoint, just what is PBIS? What does it look like at our school? And what it looks like is we have four houses, and students and staff are all in the houses, pretty much equally distributed as much as possible. And before I got to Osceola, they named them. I won't go into the details, but I'll be happy to talk to anyone afterwards if you'd like to hear more about it. The next slide is just our four basic school-wide expectations. And students know these. We all know these like the back of our hand: to be safe, be respectful, be responsible, and be cooperative. Those would cover anything a teacher would want to implement in their classroom. And those were established as well before I became the principal at Awesome Osceola. The next slide is probably the best one, because it just gives in order implementation of PBIS, starting with year one, and then year two, three, and then our current year, year four. And as Mandy spoke, we've been every color. The school's been gold, silver, and bronze, being recognized by PBS. The one little wrinkle, or not wrinkle, but one part of that is someone at school or a few people have to be dedicated to input data to show the implementation, because the bottom line of PBIS is it's a mindset. My last three schools of my four in total all were PBIS schools, and the mindset is recognizing the positive in your students. Continuing on to the next page, and that slide, just like it speaks, it just gives the initiatives, because it's like anything else. I mean, it's a project. It's living and breathing and growing, and we use data to adjust and figure out where we need to continue to improve. And, again, in a nutshell, it's relationships and a positive culture on your school campus. But how do you get the tangible to get there so that everyone is seeking that the best in students and agreeing on the initiatives? Because we can do a lot of things, but we've got to agree on what we're going to do, and it's back to the time factor. So I won't read those to you. The next two slides give you ways kids earn points for their house. So this is where the competitive, tangible part comes in. And the first slide talks about more the behavioral way, the behavioral ways that kids earn points. The next slide talks about the academic ways that children earn points. The last page and the last three slides, starting with the top, it's broken into tiers. So obviously tier one would be for your whole campus. Then we have tier two initiatives. And I didn't include them, but we also have tier three. So this model goes right back to MTSS. So it's just a marriage of academics and SEL together. The last slide, I decided I wanted to ask the students just a soft survey during my lunch duty with fourth and fifth. I just asked three basic questions. The first one, why do we have our four houses? Because kids can't really talk to you a lot about PBIS, positive behavior intervention support, but they certainly can talk to you about the houses. So they said to follow all four of our expectations and for a fun commotion. The next question I asked was, why do you like earning awesome bucks? And that's how they get points for their houses. It makes me feel appreciated, one student said. To get prizes from our awesome buck store, and that is a typo I didn't fix, it should say store. You get points for your house. And then what do you like about Osceola Elementary? It's big, fun, and perfect, and it's safe. It's safe, fun, and unique. The last two things I just want to show is back to the cover. This year we took our school improvement foci, our goals, and put it succinctly with this. This teachers did this. They came up with this so that anyone, we're hoping anyone that walks through the door would understand what we're about and what we're doing this school year. And we have this posted pretty much anywhere, including like the bathroom stall doors. We want to put it everywhere. The last document that we use that's really detailed is our PBIS handbook. Mandy has teams come in and do whatever works for your school. And for our school, because it's established, it's taking this handbook and adjusting it to where it makes sense to make this also a living, breathing document. So as we have new teachers on staff, when they've got questions, because I know I'm glossing over a lot of this, what does it all mean? You should be able to find any answer about us being a PBIS school in the handbook. So any and all, I'd be happy to share at a later date. Thank you so much for recognizing our school.
Thank you. All right.
Good afternoon, Superintendent Fritz and school board members. We are honored to share the work that we are doing here at Timbercrest with our school-wide PBIS initiative. I want to recognize first Ms. Michelle Miles, the Timbercrest Assistant Principal, and Ms. Christy Cuchez, our Timbercrest Academic Coach, for their efforts and leadership with the PBIS program. I'd also like to give a very special thank you to Ms. Chelsea Sinkuski, our administrative TOA, for facilitating and spearheading the program. Ms. Sinkuski is a dedicated leader who works hard to create a positive learning environment at Timbercrest. Finally, I'd like to express my appreciation to the entire Timbercrest family for their contributions and unwavering support with the PBIS program. Now I'd like to introduce Ms. Chelsea Sinkuski, the administrative TOA, up here so she can share a little bit about what we're doing.
Good evening, Superintendent Frist. Good evening, school board members, Madam Chair. I am honored to represent Timbercrest in earning our Silver Model School for PBIS for the 2018-2019 school year. Our PBS began at Timbercrest back in 2017 under the leadership of Mrs. McKinney and Mr. Tidmarsh. And despite the changes in administration, we are continuing to provide a proactive approach to providing a positive learning environment for all of our students. Our clearly defined expectations, be safe, be responsible, and be respectful, are modeled and taught to our students on a daily basis in all areas of our campus. This year, we have implemented Tier 2 of our PBIS program, in which we are providing behavior interventions and supports to our Tier 2 students that are in need of support with either intrinsic or extrinsic behaviors. In addition, we have implemented the house system as well at Timbercrest, in which we are consistently rewarding our students for following the expectations. The relationships and the excitement that have come from implementing the house system has been astounding. And if you are not aware of what's going on at Timbercrest, please tune in to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. We're all over social media to show the enthusiasm that is happening on our campus. Beyond discipline data, Timbercrest has grown closer as a family, with all of our stakeholders taking an active role in the well-being of our school. We continue to receive support from our Schoolway Cafe, transportation, our community members, and of course, all of our Timbercrest family. We could not have reached Silver School Model status without the help of Ms. Mandy Elzey with the Behavior Initiative. She works closely with our team, as well as Norma O'Brien. She's our cafeteria manager. She works very closely with us. Our Christy Cuches, our academic coach, and the Timbercrest PBIS leadership team. A special thank you, of course, to my administrative staff, Mr. Tidmarsh and Ms. Miles. Without their support, this would not all be possible. And, of course, a very big thank you for all the Timbercrest staff for all of their hard work and dedication. Timbercrest is a special place, and we exemplify the PBIS framework by integrating effective strategies and programs that create a multi-tiered system of support for our students. And thank you.
So we're going to take about a five-minute break so that we can take photos with each of the groups. We're going to start first with Ms. Monahan. Item 4.01, resolution, Superintendent Fritz.
For the resolution honoring Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., I'd like to call Mr. Jose Rivera Navarro, Coordinator for Advanced Programs and Graduation Assurance.
Good afternoon, Chairman Wright, members of the board, Superintendent Fritz. In honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we will be celebrating his birthday on Monday, January 20th. Our schools and community will be commemorating Dr. King's legacy by holding special events like essay writings, speeches, reading books about his life. Students will be learning about Dr. King's inspiring life and his call to make the dream a reality for all individuals. We are called to continue his work to ensure that we do not default in that promissory note that guarantees all our students the unalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is my sincerest honor to request your approval for this resolution in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King. Thank you.
Superintendent Fritz.
It's the superintendent's recommendation the approval of the resolution honoring Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in the observance of his birthday.
You've heard the motion. Is there a motion? I'm sorry. You've heard the resolution and approval of the superintendent's recommendation from the superintendent. Thank you.
Move approval.
A second.
The motion has been properly moved and second. Any other discussion?
Yes, I would.
Yes.
I think it's very unique that this is our first resolution in 2020. So it's 2020-01, mm-hmm. and it just indicates what a number one guy he was. I was a sophomore in high school when he was assassinated. And, of course, when I went to college, African-American literature and writing was very, very popular at the time. But I truly never appreciated the kind of man he was and what he stood for and what he was fighting for until I taught it, mm-hmm. especially when I taught Letter from a Birmingham Jail. And when you read the very short newspaper article from the 8 clergymen from Birmingham and telling him he did not belong in Birmingham, and then he wrote a 50-paragraph response, beautifully written. Talk about a unique individual who can put so many words that I would never be able to put together and to create harmony and respect, but still tell his tale of a fortitude amidst a great deal of dissension is truly, truly remarkable. So I'm very glad that we continue to have this resolution every year, along with our Native American resolution and our Latin American resolution. But this one in honor of Dr. King is truly good.
Thank you.
And ditto your sentiments about the piece of literary writing, because mm-hmm. it's really a literary piece, but his last speech was just as compelling. Mm-hmm. There is a motion on the floor, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Those that oppose? Ayes have it, and the motion is carried. Thank you, Jose.
Thank you.
Good night. 5.01, public participation. Do we have any cards? Thank you. Superintendent Fritz, do we have any items that were requested from my colleagues to be removed from the consent agenda?
No, Madam Chair.
Is there approval for the consent agenda? Item 6.02.
Motion to approve.
Second.
The motion has been properly moved and second. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Those that oppose? Ayes have it. The motion is carried. We'll move down to item 16.01, Superintendent Fritz.
Yes, we have three announcements today. Number one, all schools and district offices will be closed on Monday, honoring Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday observance holiday. Number two, the next school board meeting will be on Monday, January 27th at 5:30 p.m. in this boardroom. And a third announcement, it's been brought to my attention that we need to make an adjustment with our school board meeting schedule. We need to change the tentative budget public hearing meeting from the 21st of July to the 28th of July due to the budget coming out from the FDLDOE.
That's it? Okay. Colleagues, can you check your calendar to look at that change of date to make sure?
It's in when? August?
July.
July.
Yes, from the 21st to the 28th.
Okay. You're fine? Linda, is that okay with
you? Yeah, as far as I can tell, yes.
Okay. Mr. Persis?
So that will not affect the August calendar?
No, it will not.
Continue the same?
Yes. Mr. Colon, is that okay with you?
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Superintendent Prince.
Yes.
We have another public participation, but it's not quite 5 o'clock, so we'll go to 18.01, Administrative Appointments. Superintendent Fritz.
I'd like to call Dr. Carmen Balgobin to the table. Board, as Dr. Balgobin makes her way to the table, as we embark on this journey together to build a strategic plan that really takes Volusia County on its way to an A. As we realize the function and the importance of the district office is to serve those at schools, principals, teachers, and our students, it's incredibly important to have a lead for teaching, leading, and learning that is a proven leader. Board, I'm recommending Dr. Carmen Balgobin as the deputy superintendent. During her career, Dr. Balgobin has held the following positions: foreign language instructor, clinical supervising teacher at Evans High School, a district instructional trainer, a coach for the Multilingual Student Education Services for Orange County Public Schools, an assistant principal at Englewood Elementary, an assistant principal at Citrus Elementary, principal at Tildenville Elementary School in Winter Gardens. She's been a master principal of two schools, Molly Ray Elementary and Pine Hills Elementary. She was then promoted to the Executive Area Director for School Transformation in Orange County Public Schools, and she currently serves as the Executive Director of Charter and Educational Choices in the School District of Osceola County, facilitating more than 5,000 choice requests this last year. Dr. Balgobin was an ESOL adjunct instructor at the Orlando Vocational Technical Institute, an adjunct professor for the Master's and Specialist Programs at Nova Southeastern and Ashford University. She received her bachelor's in foreign language education from the University of Central Florida, her master's degree in TESOL from the University of Central Florida and Nova Southeastern University, and she received her doctorate in education in organizational management from Nova Southeastern University. Board, it's my recommendation that Dr. Balgobin be the deputy superintendent for teaching, leading, and learning.
Thank you, Superintendent Fritz. You've heard the recommendation from the superintendent.
I make a motion that she become our deputy superintendent. Second.
The motion has been properly moved and second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Those that oppose? Ayes have it, and the motion is carried. Congratulations, and welcome to Volusia County.
Thank you. Madam Chair, board members, Superintendent Fritz, leadership team, I want to say a sincere thank you. I feel very honored and privileged to be a part of Volusia County. This is an amazing team. This is an amazing district. I feel so blessed that I have always had God's guidance in my life, and I think I am in the place where I need to be. Additionally, I have my amazing family here, Tom and Osha. Say hi to the board. I also like to thank Orange County Public Schools, where I spent an entire 20 years there, for shaping my experiences as a professional, and also for working in Osceola County with the great Superintendent Pace. I would not be here today had I not had an amazing mentor, Dr. Fritz. I feel very, very honored to serve under you, Dr. Fritz, here, and this amazing board, this amazing leadership team. I look forward, and as you would say always, since you've been here on our way to an A, the Volusia way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good. Now go get to work.
Yes, sir.
Just a moment. Colleagues, would any of you like to say anything? Go right ahead, Mr. Colon.
And so, being the first Latino school board member, es un placer tenerte a ti aquí en mi ciudad, en Deltona. Hay mucho hispano, y tener alguien que hable español es importante para nuestra familia. Gracias.
Gracias, señor Colón.
I said I want to thank you for being here as the first Latino school board member. It's an honor to have somebody who, in my community, a lot of our families speak Spanish, and to have somebody who can speak Spanish as well.
So. Very good. And go right ahead.
When will you be official?
I believe the 27th.
27th. Okay. Thank you so much. We appreciate you and also your family for coming here today. It's nice to put a face to paperwork, so thank you so
Absolutely.
Much.
Thank you very much.
Go ahead. One more thing. Which languages do you speak?
So I speak Patois and Spanish, English, and I know a few other languages, but un poquito. Hindi, my father spoke Hindi very fluently. I should have been more active in learning a whole lot more, but I understand a whole lot.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Okay. Welcome.
Thank you. Welcome.
I'd like Mr. Mark West to come forward. Board members, as Mr. West makes his way here, we are a corporation. We have 7,500 employees. And there was a time when a position would open in the area of instruction and there would be a plethora of folks applying for that position, and principals had an opportunity to choose. And as we move forward with this strategic plan, recruiting, developing, and retaining a highly qualified workforce will absolutely be a focus of mine. And so I'm recommending Joseph Mark West as Chief Human Resource Officer. Mr. West graduated from Wake Forest University and began his teaching career as a science teacher in Plant City High School in Hillsborough County. Soon after, he pursued his master's degree at the University of South Florida in Ed Leadership. He was appointed to his first administrative position as an assistant principal for curriculum at Middleton Middle School of Technology, the district's first middle magnet program. After serving there for 5 years, he was appointed as a principal at Turkey Creek Middle School, where he served for 7 years. He was then appointed as the principal of Bloomingdale High School. After serving there for 8 years, he moved to Armwood High School as a transformational leader, asked by the superintendent to help improve the culture and the student academics. Then he was appointed to the general manager of employee relations at the district office, where he has served for the past 7 years. Board, it's my recommendation that Mr. West become our chief human resource officer.
Colleagues, you've heard the recommendation from the superintendent. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
The motion has been properly moved and second. Any discussion?
Yes. I'd like to ask Ms. McKinney, do you approve?
Oh, I approve.
Can we get a witness?
As one who's been our acting human resources director, I just thought it would be interesting to see what she said. So, welcome to Volusia County.
The motion has been properly moved and second. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Those that oppose? Ayes have it, and the motion is carried. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to just say thank you to Dr. Fritz and to Ms. Elizabeth Albert, who actually gave me a great interview where I learned a lot about Volusia County in the, I don't know, six-hour session. No, it was really about an hour and a half, but it was a very informative session. And I also want to say thank you so much for board members for truly giving me a sense of what Volusia looks like here. Seeing the kids come up in recognition of those students that were here today, as a former science teacher, I was so excited. And the recognition of our teachers as well and the amazing work that they're doing. I'm definitely jumping on the bandwagon here of doing things the Volusia way. So I'm very excited to be part of your team. And thank you, Dr. Fritz. Thank you, board members, for having me today.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Oh, my Lord. I have to drive home with my wife.
That's right.
So I also want to recognize.
And that would have been a long drive.
Yes, it would have.
Remember that?
My wife, Laura, and I have three boys, but they're at home right now or working or in different places. So, but she has supported me in every step of the way of my career, and I wouldn't be able to do this without her. So thank you all so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Board members, any comments? Any comments? Hearing none?
Welcome.
And I did ask Ms. McKinney for her permission as well. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Superintendent Fritz?
I will tell you this, that Mrs. West is an ESE teacher, so I did tell Mr. West before the board meeting it was a two-for-one deal. He has to bring him.
District 5, yes.
I'd like to bring forward Clint Griffin. And as Clint is making his way here, we have a guest from Orange County Public Schools. I see him in the back. He's the CIO for Orange County Public Schools, Mr. Robert Curran. one of the most amazing CIOs I ever worked with. So thank you for being here, Robert. Board, as we look at where we're going, one of the very first meetings that I had with you, we discussed our student information system and the challenges that we were having with that and with our ERP system in Oracle. And so you sent me to the task to find someone that can help us, and I believe that we have. Mr. Akins and Ms. Miller and I interviewed excruciatingly over the last several weeks, and we do believe that we have a winner that's going to help us with our launch. So I'd like to tell you a little bit about Cliff Griffin. Clint is a driven technology innovator for over 20 years of experience. He's worked in K-12 systems and currently serves as the CIO's number two in Orange County Public Schools. But he also has extensive experience in the college system as a technology manager. Currently in the system, he is supporting a student information system that was struggling in Orange County Public Schools. And testimonies from many, many folks in teaching and learning, as well as his own CIO, Clint was the reason why that system was able to get off the ground and function. Mr. Griffin has achieved a Bachelor's of Science in Information Technology from Barry University and a Master's of Science in Management and Information Systems from Florida Institute of Technology. He's a proud veteran of the U.S. Navy, a trusted K-12 leader, and a technology innovator. Board, it's my recommendation that Clint Griffin become our new Chief Information Technology Officer.
Colleagues, you've heard the recommendation from the superintendent. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
The motion has been properly moved and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Those that oppose? Ayes have it, and the motion is carried. Congratulations and welcome to the Volusia County.
Thank you, Madam Chair, fellow board members, Superintendent Fritz. That sounded pretty amazing. No. In all honesty, I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, Robert Kern, for coming in here and supporting me. He's a great guy, as Dr. Fritz explained. Really good CIO, great mentor for me for the last year. I look forward to the challenge of been in some communications, been watching these board meetings for a few months now. There's some challenges ahead, for sure. Seems to be what I like, though, so I keep being attracted to those challenges, and hopefully I can continue and fix some things here and get this place right tracked. I didn't bring family. I brought Robert Kern. My wife's working in Orlando. But I have two dogs. I don't have any kids. Me and my wife have been married for 25 years this May. I know I'm pretty young for 25 years. 25 happy years, and she's a senior software engineer herself, over 20 years in technology. So we've got separate paths, but we're both in technology. Sometimes it's speaking Greek to each other, even though we're both in technology when we come home. But we're both driven by technology challenges. I really think I'm a good fit for this, and look forward to the challenge, and I'm happy to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.
Well, sir, I was very impressed that you received your master's from Florida Institute of Technology. So isn't it wonderful to be able to live your education? And a lot of times, many of us are not able to do that. We get a degree in something, then have to find a job. So we hope you find your passion here as you lead our district, because we have some excellent technology people from our clerks. Yeah, one sit right over there. Our USAs, the people in the middle of the district, but we have so many hardworking people in technology. So we do appreciate your centralized direction. So thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
And so welcome to Volusia County, and I want you to know that you have the support of the board, and all three of you, you have the support of the board, and as well as we support our superintendent, and we just want to get there for our students. And so anything you need, let Dr. Fritz know, we'll make it happen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So welcome. And
I, too, reiterate that we are happy that you are joining our team as well as the other individuals tonight. But I also want to thank you for your service in the Navy. That's near and dear to my heart. I have had family that have served in the different branches, and I have a son-in-law right now that is serving in the Air Force. So thank you for your service.
Also. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
This time, Madam Chair, I'd like to bring Corrine Cobb forward. Let me share with the board. One of the things you charged me with was building a bench. And that first level of leadership truly is an assistant principal position in our district. And so I told you as we go forward that we would make our folks go through an interview process that was transparent, that consisted of members of the staff, family members of that school, and Ms. Cobb went through that experience at Palm Terrace. And so she was selected number one there. And then if that wasn't enough, she had to come to the district office, and she had to interview with the area superintendents, Ms. Hazel, myself. And so we put her through, again, with a totally different set of questions than we Ms. Cobb. Mm-hmm. And again, she came to the top. So it is my pleasure to recommend Ms. Cobb as the assistant principal for Palm Terrace. I'd like to tell you a little bit about her. She came to us in 2010. She worked at Orange City Elementary School. Currently, she is the teacher on assignment at Palm Terrace. She earned her bachelor's degree from Westchester University in Pennsylvania and her master's degree from Stetson University. Her areas of certification are Ed Leadership and Elementary Education, and she is my recommendation for assistant principal at Palm Terrace.
Thank you, Superintendent. Colleagues, you've heard the superintendent's recommendation.
Move approval.
Second.
The motion has been properly moved and second. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Those that oppose? Ayes have it, and the motion is carried. Congratulations.
Madam Chair, school board members, Superintendent Fritz, thank you very much for this opportunity. It's been a great path that I've been in Volusia County. I'm super excited. I want to thank Mr. Harris that's behind me. He's a very inspirational, and I've been telling him that all along. He's an inspirational leader. It's just what I needed in my path. I'm very grateful for all of those in my path. And I want to thank my husband, who's here tonight. He's my sounding board. He's also a supervisor for the Volusia County Sheriff's Office. And so I go to him for a lot of advice, which is awesome. But I've seen a lot of growth in our students at Palm Terrace Elementary School. And I am extremely excited that I'll get to continue that path. And I know that I'm going to see a lot of more growth. And I'm very thankful for the teachers that are there as well, the teachers and the students. We have a great school at Palm Terrace. And they're just on the rise. They're on the rise, so I'm excited to be a part of it.
Thank you. Colleagues, any comments?
Congratulations. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm just going to say Palm Terrace is indeed a special place, and I commend you for the work that you have done there. You wouldn't be sitting in that chair right now if you didn't have your principal's wholehearted 100% backing. It wouldn't have gotten past him. He's a pretty well thought of person too. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate the fact that you want to be at Palm Terrace, and the fact that you wanted to pursue this assistant principal job and do it at Palm Terrace, because we need great people to be there and not just be there for 1 year, but be there, vest themselves into it, and that's how we will see the growth that we all want. So I just wanted to say congratulations. I'll be down to see you,
yes.
And like I said, I think Palm Terrace is the place to be.
It is. Yes, thank you.
Ms. Cuthbert, Ms.
Cuthbert. Oh, I'm sorry. Congratulations, and thank you for loving those kids, because that's so special. All administrators, especially students of special needs, all should be loved. And so thank you for loving them.
I sure do love those kids.
So I want to say congratulations, because Palm Terrace has always held a special place in my heart, too. But I also want to say to Dr. Fritz, thank you for starting this process and allowing our teachers and community members to have a part in selecting who will work at their school.
And again, congratulations and welcome aboard.
Thank you. Thank you.
And now I'm going to ask Ms. Kim McKinney to give the board an update on our vacancies, and we also have a, last time you had requested an update on permanent subs.
Good afternoon. Kimberly McKinney, coordinator for recruitment and retention. Good afternoon, Chairperson Wright, members of the board, and Superintendent Fritz. As requested, I would like to provide an update on all instructional vacancies district-wide. The budget department provided a list of all budgeted instructional position vacancies. These were compared to the human resources vacancy report, and then we eliminated all of the advertised positions and those positions that have a request to hire in process. Then working with the area superintendents who communicated with their schools, information was obtained on the remaining vacant positions. Here are the results. Of the 190 budgeted position vacancies, and these are instructional vacancies, 88 are being advertised, 35 have requests for hire in process, 9 have long-term subs, 6 of them are non-core positions, 1 core position, and 2 elementary positions. We found that 21 were collapsed due to class size and have not been deleted from the budget vacancy list, which is in process of being updated now. 9 have temporary subs for leave of absences and professional standard situations, so those are temporary. 28 positions are in question and are being further discussed for evaluation. They do not have subs or students attached to them at this time. So as requested, you know, I think the very good news is we only have 9 long-term subs on campuses at this time, you know, and 6 of them being in non-core positions.
Colleagues, go ahead.
Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
Thank you to everybody who worked on getting us a real picture of
yes, sir.
What is going on in our district. It's greatly appreciated. I'm sure it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy last year, February, and it certainly wasn't easy this time around, but I appreciate that. So what is our bottom line? So we said there are 88 positions, but 35, there's a request for hire, so that
Correct.
Takes us to 53.
Mm-hmm. And then we have the 9 long-term subs, which the area superintendents are working with the principals. Many of them are people who have degrees and are just waiting to pass that test. So they are in process of getting certification. Not all of them, but the majority of them.
So arguably we're looking at 40-something vacancies, realistically?
Well, no. We still have, well, yes. No. No, back up.
So
we have 88 that are still being advertised, Mr.
Okay.
Clone. So 88 active positions online at this time.
Okay.
Again, most of them are those ESE positions. We have over 20 ESE positions, and then I didn't bring the breakdown by subject area for you this evening.
No, I appreciate that. And so, again, thank you for the honest response. And
you're
I know it took a lot of work to get there, but
you're welcome.
You know, we have to face our reality. And so our brand new HR director, who's nodding his head back there, we've got our work cut out for us. And
too.
So knowing where we are is very important. So thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. McKinney. At this time, we're going to take another quick break. So can all of our new appointees come up front? And this time, we're going to go back to 17.01 for public participation. We have 3 cards. Thank you, ma'am. Our first speaker for 2020 is Mrs. Carol Sawyer, followed by Mr. John Aldridge.
Chairman, can you run another
Oh, okay. Yes, ma'am, I sure will.
I don't know that I'm the best one to start with all the new administrators here.
Yeah, you are.
Well, you're it, Carol. Currently, our timer is not working, so if you look
at
Connie.
Great, then.
No. You will not get more than three. No. But Connie will let you know when you're about 10 seconds, and you have 3 minutes, and go right ahead.
Okay. Good afternoon, Chairwoman Wright, board members, and Superintendent Fritz. My name is Carol Sawyer. I reside at 246 Golf Club Drive, New Smyrna Beach. Today, I'm here representing transportation, and my topic is student behavior on our buses for the regular ed students, not the special needs students. I want to start by saying that most students act appropriately on the buses and will change their behavior if the operator or attendant asks them to. On many of the buses, the driver is the only adult. We drive with 50-plus students sitting behind us with our backs. We monitor student behavior with a big mirror in front of us. We drive down the road at the same time we're watching the mirror for the students. With the age of cell phones, we need to be very careful of the other drivers on the road also, because we can see that most of them have cell phones in their hand when they're driving. I want you to imagine driving the big yellow down the street. A student gets out of their seat, walks around, changes, jumps on the seats, crawls under the seats. A student will put a window down, throw something out. Next thing you know, we have a car coming up trying to get our attention. Another student put a window down, stick his head out, start yelling at people. That gathers 3 or 4 more students over there yelling at the window. A student in the back will start yelling at a student in the front. A student will spray something on the bus. People can't breathe. Students start throwing stuff, papers, pencils, food. It doesn't matter. One time I almost got hit by a little carrot, but it hit the front windshield instead of me. These are just a few of the things that the bus operators and attendants go through on a daily basis. Sometimes when we try to correct the behavior, we get cussed at, or we got obscenities or vulgar language yelled at us. Our current referral system does not work. We write referrals according to our procedures, and the school administrator will give them lunch detention, the student. That does nothing as far as changing the student behavior. The students will tell you they don't care how many referrals they have because they already got 5, 10, 15, 20. Transportation needs the school administration to step up and help us correct the student behavior on these buses. Their consequence has to be more than just lunch detention. Transportation has done their part by installing tablets on all the buses. I have been working with management, troubleshooting these tablets to achieve the most out of the tablet for the bus operator. No longer can a student get on and board a bus if they are not assigned to the bus. And that is a big step in correcting student behavior on the buses. We need new strategies from the school administration to help us with student behavior on the buses. We are adults, professionals, and we do not deserve this kind of behavior from our students. The bus operators and attendants are frustrated. Some are leaving because of the stress. We cannot afford this. We already have many open routes. It's amazing, and probably through a lot of prayers, that we haven't had more incidences. And I attribute that to the professionalism of the bus operators that we have driving our buses.
Thank you.
That's what I have to say today.
Thank you.
Okay, and I would like to give a shout out. Mr. Cologne, who put one of these caps on yesterday with us and walked Tallahassee with us. And thanks to Elizabeth to supply one of these for everyone that went up there. We had 4 buses. And you could see all the Volusia people and all the people that were there because we all had the red hats on.
Awesome.
It was very nice.
Very good.
Thank you.
Mr. John Aldridge, followed by Mrs. Elizabeth Albert.
Mr. Aldridge, please state your name. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you.
Chairman Wright, Superintendent Fritz, school board members. My name is John Aldridge. I'm a proud retiree from the Volusia County system in 2005. And the reason I'm coming to you today is last Thursday I received a letter from the Florida School Retirement Benefits Consortium. And being a retiree and being very, I'm not going to be scammed by anybody. So I called them and I asked them what this was about, since this was the first notice that I'd received. And he said, well, yes, the Volusia County system sent out letters in August and September to let you know that they're changing over from their management to this management company in Michigan of retiree benefits. So I called the school board and spoke to someone who told me that within 1 week, over 300 people had called and asked the same question. And I understand the company needs to make money, and we're not going to pay but $4 a month more for my benefit, but I'm thinking of others. I'm lucky. I retired. I had a nice retirement income. My question is, what about at the end of this month? There are people on vacations, retirees, that won't be back for over a month. Luckily, I texted a friend and asked them the same question. Did you get a letter? No, don't know anything about it. At the end of the month, their benefit will be canceled. So my question to you, the board, was, is this part of the communication breakdown that happened during 2019? It's a question I don't have an answer for, and I would hope that you all would be able to find out what happened. I'm not looking for anybody's head to roll, but I am asking that there be better communication with those of us that put in our time in Volusia County and retired proudly after serving with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Aldridge, and we will look into that, because letters were supposed to have been mailed, and so we'll try to find out what happened. And,
yeah,
and trust me, we probably will have to reach back out to.
Yes, I'd like to see.
I've got on the card my email address. You can just let me know if you want, or call me on my cell phone. I just like, what happened to those letters that were supposed to have been sent out?
Okay, thank you. We will follow up. You're very welcome. Yeah.
Excuse me, one more thing.
Yes, sir.
And as I'm looking around the room, there's only one other person that might be as old as I am. We old farts still have to have our say.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Miss Elizabeth Albert.
Disappointed.
At your husband.
You were talking about my husband. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the board, Superintendent Dr. Fritz, and members of the audience. So what a phenomenal day for Volusia County Schools. What a great day. I'm so glad that I'm able to sit here today and see all of these appointments. It just helps me to feel even more strongly that we are headed into this new decade in a powerful and strategic way. And the positive change that's come into Volusia County, you can almost feel it. And so I would be remiss if I didn't say something about my beloved Palm Terrace Elementary. And so all I will say is this, and I don't know if Mr. Harris is listening or not, but watch that school, because as he says, it is the greatest transformation in all of Volusia County history. And Ms. Cobb is absolutely someone who is going to move the needle. So bravo and good job for you guys putting her in that place. Just want to talk a little bit about the rally yesterday. As Mr. Clone mentioned, we had a good time standing there together, even in the rain. Right, Mr. Clone? But there was a sign that I saw that I thought I would share the contents of it with you, because I had to think about it for a few minutes, and then I thought, what a powerful message. And the sign read, "I will no longer accept the things I cannot change. I will change the things I can no longer accept."
What a powerful statement when we are standing in the rain to advocate for Florida's students. What a powerful message when we're talking about prioritizing the things that are right and doing what is best by kids in our public schools. And so today I'll be very brief, but as I stood on the outside of the building and raised my voice and advocated for what is right and just for children, you guys get to go inside. You're going inside this week, Dr. Fritz. And so now the torch is passed to you. And now that you have the ear of the people who are on the inside making those decisions, I am fully confident in your ability to share the same message, that the time has come to change the narrative about public schools, prioritize what happens for student learning, and then the board members will go. And you will further that with the work that you do. So again, I feel as if I'm gushing today, which is not my typical style when I address you, but we are unified in our efforts to do good things, and I'm just so excited to be a part of it. So thank you. I appreciate you.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Moving to item 19.01, student discipline regarding attendance, Superintendent Fritz.
I'd like to bring Mr. Craig Pender, Coordinator for Educational Enhancements, forward.
Good evening, Chairperson Wright, Craig Pender, Coordinator of Educational Enhancements, school board members, and Dr. Fritz. The district student placement committee is recommending the superintendent that he request the board extend the suspension for the identified students through January 27, 2020. Alpha ID 1 UHKY, 1 SBJR, 1 YGPC, 1 WUSY, 1 YGXU, 1 TAVV, 1 SSKA, 1 QDQQ, 1 QCML, 1 VRTL, and 1 YAVG.
Superintendent Fritz.
Superintendent recommends the board extend a suspension of the students identified by Mr. Craig Pender from the school attendance through January 27, 2020 for the purpose of further study and evaluation.
You've heard the superintendent recommendation. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
The motion has been properly moved and second. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those that oppose? Ayes have it, and the motion is carried. Moving on to item 19.02, student discipline regarding transportation, Superintendent Fritz.
Mr. Pender, please continue.
District Student Placement Committee is recommending to the superintendent that he request the board extend a suspension from school-sponsored transportation for the identified students through January 27th, 2020. Alpha ID 1 QMUX, 1 RSZP, and 1 RTSV.
The superintendent recommends the board extend the suspension of these students identified by Mr. Craig Pender from the school-sponsored transportation through January 27, 2020 for the purpose of further study and evaluation.
You've heard the superintendent recommendation. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
The motion has been properly moved and second. Any discussion?
I have a question.
Yes.
Sir, based on what Carol Sawyer spoke to us about bus behavior earlier, at one point where is the line that a student would have a school-based penalty for misbehavior on a bus as opposed to being kicked off the bus altogether?
Well, that is technically up to the school administrator that deals with that. As an AP, I sometimes combine situations because generally if a kid is getting in trouble on the bus, they're probably doing something at school. And you can kind of wrap it up into one. One of the things we are doing with our revamping of our code of conduct and parent manual is we're trying to tighten everything up and make more of a menu selection to make sure that everybody's in the same ballpark. So there will be more of a, if you do this, this will occur.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some things are optional, some things are not. It's one of the things we presented to the ACLU yesterday and I've been invited to the League of Women Voters. They're kind of interested in what we want to know too. But what we're trying to do is just condense everything because we do know that sometimes people out in left field, right field, we're trying to bring all that back in so that come next year it's almost a self-service environment is what I'm looking for. So that if if a parent's student gets in trouble, they're automatically going to know what's going to be happening. There's not going to be any shock, surprises, no hidden doors. You know, they can tell little Johnny, you know, themselves, you're going to be home. But so we're trying to work through all that. I've actually been talking to transportation on a few other things about our focus process with them getting timely information back. So I'm assuming we're going to continue to be trying to work those bugs out.
Okay, so it's not just the act of behavior, but how about when it's repeated, when it's repetitive?
Well, the new system we're going to be trying to implement is going to be kind of progressive. So like the first time you get in trouble, it'll be here. But once you start adding, you know, here, 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 and here, well, now we get to bypass all of the lower consequences and go to something higher. But with all of that being said, we're trying to figure out what we can do to implement to make sure that schools are using the correct strategies before they actually suspend the kids, before they actually, you know, recommend them for expulsion to the SPC. Because we're trying to hold everybody accountable to make sure that everybody's doing what they need to do and not just, hey, you're in trouble, you're gone, send you to the board. So okay. A lot of things happening.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Go ahead.
So one of the things, I really haven't shared a whole lot with the board, but I've asked Rose Rollin to help be our business process owner in this, and the area superintendents and Rachel and I have met. And one of the things that we're looking at as we go forward is a change in our discipline procedures, and so that we have some standardization, some guidelines. Every child is different, and the purpose of discipline is to really get them to learn from the experience. But we have that double-edged sword is you have to support the teacher and the adult dealing with them as well as the other students that are part of that infraction. So as we go forward for next year, one of the things that I've asked Rose to help lead us on is a really high-quality in-school suspension program in our secondary schools. Currently, we do this with a substitute, and the consistency is not there. So as we look forward to this, we see this almost as an opportunity for students to learn from their behavior, not to miss their assignments, but to really have some teeth into this program. And so as we start to roll this out, budget season is coming upon us in March. As Rose continues to refine this and get this, I'll make sure I share this with the board. But part of the conversation would be, what do we do with those students riding buses, realizing that there's an opportunity for them to learn from that behavior as well. Many a times those students that are misbehaving on the bus are the same students that are misbehaving in the school. So there's an opportunity for us to correct that behavior. And so we just had a presentation tonight on PBIS. PBIS and restorative practices are high quality if they're embraced by the adults. And one of the ways that we want to move forward is we want our schools, it really doesn't matter which one, but they have to embrace one of them. And it has to be something that we really do live and be part of the culture.
Okay. Any other questions? We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Those that oppose? Ayes have it, and the motion is carried. Thank you, Mr. Pendleton. Moving on to item 20.01, presentation, Superintendent Fritz.
I'd like to bring Deb Moore forward, Chief Financial Officer for Financial Services. Deb is going to go over the preliminary budget and what it looks like for the governor. There's still a lot that's very much unknown, but we wanted you to have the information as it's coming in to us. Deb?
Never tell if this is actually going by itself or I'm doing this. So, good afternoon, Madam Chair, board members, and Dr. Fritz, and Happy New Year to all of you. I know there have been so many great and positive things today, so I'm going to try and sound positive to you so that we won't spoil the mood. As you know, today is the first day of the legislative session, and I know that's why we had so many great people up in Tallahassee yesterday trying to influence education during this legislative session. What has already been released is the governor's budget. So that was released back in December. And then also there have been some legislative things going on behind the scenes that could affect the budget as well. So I just wanted to briefly update you on that. So if you look at the governor's budget, our total fiscal year 21 budgeted revenue per student would be $7,814.93. The statewide average Budgeted revenue per student is $7,979.33. So you can see that we would be $164.40, or 2.1%, still below the statewide average, which is consistently where we have been. So even though our budgeted revenue would increase over this current year in Volusia by $381.70, the statewide average would not increase as much, but we still would be behind. And, you know, that's what we've been talking about as far as the DCD, and that's what the compression funding was intended to be, was to catch us up, but it's still only 25% of where we're behind the statewide average. So with that being said, with the DCD, we will never catch up unless something has changed. The state FTE projection, when I get to the detail here, you'll see was used for Volusia. This will not be what we will be actually submitting to DOE, which that projection is due on January 23rd, I believe it is. Our actual enrollment will be projected at 289 students over our fiscal year day 20 enrollment. The base student allocation that the governor is recommending is an increase of $50, or 1.17% per FTE. And the statewide required local effort is being decreased again, which allows for the increase in current taxable values to not be recognized as an increase in taxation for us. In the governor's budget compared to our second calculation, the district cost differential is not updated. That typically does not happen until sometime during the legislative session. There is a calculated base funding increase of about $5.5 million, and just to remind you, that is based on our FTE as well as the base student allocation, the BSA. But when we see our actual FTE in there, that $5.5 million will actually decrease because this is not the real number yet. It does increase our compression adjustment, which relates to our 0.748 discretionary money, tries to catch us up there and hold us harmless from the current year. Very small safe schools allocation increase of just 1%, or about $41,000. But what they are focusing on is the increase in the mental health allocation. So you can see that that's increasing more than $500,000, and they're focusing really on guidance counselors. That's the governor's push. The funding compression allocation, just a slight increase there of $94,000. The increase in the total funding, and this is the shocking number right here, is $27.2 million, and let me explain a little bit why. So you remember when I came to you this past year during the budget, I said that they took the Best and Brightest Award, which they normally had outside of our FEFP, and they brought it into the FEFP and said, look at how much more money we're giving you this year. But it was just because they brought almost $6 million into our budget, into our revenue. Well, they're now taking it out of our revenue in the FEFP, but they're bringing it down under our categorical calculation. So it's really still in there. It's just a different calculation. But they're increasing it by more than $1 million. So they are also changing it up based on what the governor has been out there saying. But again, we don't know where this will end up, but they are looking at a tiered bonus that includes Title I schools in that calculation. They also, and this is the big $47,500 base teacher salary that we keep hearing about, they're adding $17.2 million to our funding, and this would be to increase those teacher salaries. Just to point out to you here a couple of the highlights of what I've just talked to you about, the yellow unweighted FTE you're seeing that it's 62,423 FTE, 452 FTE increase, and as I said, ours will be more in the 289 FTE range. The base student allocation of $50, you can see the DCD is unchanged in this projection. And our school taxable value and required local effort millage will not be finalized until July. Once the legislative budget comes out, there will be a projection, and it's usually fairly close, but it's not finalized until July. Here on this top line is where you see that base funding, the $5.5 million. And these are all the different categories. I've only highlighted some that, you know, I wanted to point out. But our compression adjustment, and again, that's to hold us harmless for the calculation of the 0.748 mils that you determine. Here's the mental health assistance allocation, that $550,000 increase. And here's where they've eliminated that best and brightest teacher and principal allocation of $5.9 million. So you can see net in this total FEFP calculation is an increase of just under $1 million. And then looking down below, we will, based on our FTE, receive additional class size reduction money. So although it's $646,000 right now, I don't anticipate that that will be quite as high since we will have a less of an increase in our FTE. But here is the Florida classroom teacher compensation, that $17 million, and then the Florida teacher bonus and principal bonus of almost $7 million. And here at the bottom is that total funding of $27 million increase and the budgeted revenue per student increase of $381.70. So as Dr. Fritz said, clearly this is a beginning place for the legislature to start looking and talking, so we know that it will change. But I think as everybody understands that money for teacher salaries is going to be the big topic of conversation in Tallahassee, and how does that all shake out? A couple of interesting areas in legislation was that the Senate Education Committee did agree on the bill to remove that best and brightest, so it already has the support of the Senate Education Committee and take that out of the statute. There was also the class action lawsuit that went to FDOE, and they decided to settle that. So there's $15.5 million that DOE or the state is setting aside to settle that suit, and they've sent out notices to Black and Hispanic teachers on how to submit claims for that money. I have not heard if it's actually going to come flow through us or it's going to be settled outside. There is the, again, that beginning teacher pay, Senate Bill 1088. What I have heard is that they may, what some of the districts that have a higher starting teacher pay already, what they are saying is they want the same calculation of money to increase their teacher pay, which means they'll get the same per FTE, and they'll be able to increase their veteran teachers as well because they'll have the same percentage of funding. And so I know that, I hope that our legislators are really looking at that. Also, the DCD study, that has been requested to be postponed, and we have not heard anything on it. Last time I knew it was they requested January 1, and still not a word. We had emailed EDR about that to ask. We received no response at all. So it can't change in statute unless the legislature even acts on it. So clearly if they don't have it, they can act on it. But even if they receive it, they don't have to act on it. And so, you know, my guess at this point, hearing nothing else, that nothing may happen in this legislative session. But, you know, we'll clearly be watching to see what comes out of this. So, and just, you know, as far as the economy, we, you know, have been hearing uncertainty with Iran and with other parts of the world. But then, you know, there are good news. There's good news with China and trade deals. So we're really watching closely with what Florida is doing, because they did have their state economists up there, and a couple of them actually disagreed on a recession coming. And so the state decided to do nothing as far as adjusting any revenue projections, which that clearly would be good news for us if they don't change any of the revenue projections in the short term, and that would get us through 2021. So, again, lots of things happening, and we'll keep you abreast of how it goes.
Okay. I said, Carl, if you want to say something, go right ahead.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, first of all, thank you for that the update. As we know, the governor's budget is just one budget. There's the speaker's budget, and there's the president of the Senate's budget. And so this is just a starting point. I wouldn't put a whole lot of faith in any of this right now. Mm-hmm. But it's something to, for the others to react to. And that's how the system works. And then the three of them will get together on the eve of the end of the session and figure it out. Right? Isn't that the way it always works?
And the train bill.
Yeah, and the train bill that's attached. I did want to say I had the pleasure of speaking January 9th, that Thursday morning, at the Halifax River Yacht Club to the Daytona Beach Regional Chamber Eggs and Issues breakfast. Mm-hmm. There were about 100, 110 people there, and so I was speaking, of course, on educational issues because it's one of the chamber's priorities, which is wonderful to have partners in anything that we do. But as far as it relates to the DCD study, I spoke with Jim Cameron, who you know, who's been partnering with us and trying to, you know, pound the drum about what's the holdup with this DCD study. It's supposed to come out October 1st, November 1st, December 1st, January 1st, and of course it's still not out. And when he called up there, I think it was January the 7th, and the answer he got is that is now they're waiting to get some census data to include that information into the study. Whether that's really true or not, it sounds good, and I tend to agree that this study and what it says, it's all going to be connected to make whatever budget they decide upon. It'll all just miraculously come out, and they'll be so happy. So I'm not sure whether that's going to be good or bad for us, but anyway, we know where it stands, and we can see through the weeds with what is going on. So that's what I just wanted to say. I think the game has just begun in Tallahassee, and we just have to keep our eyes and ears open to it. I know we have a brand new lobbying team here, and I don't know who is our
Sam
who
Boston.
Did we say our contact was going to be? Stacey Manning?
Oh, yes, Stacey Manning and
be our contact here.
Jim Cameron and Sam Foster and I are going up there for the next 2 days together.
Right, and I'm sure Deb will be directly involved yes. with all of that, as well as our new Deputy Superintendent. I'm sure she will be, too.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. Mr. Clark? Nothing?
There are just a couple interesting things in here I think the public needs to realize. When the governor increased the Safe Schools allocation by only 1%, that's about $40,500, that pays a salary of one guardian but no benefits. So to increase our coverage with guardians for our schools, there's not much there. And also, it's even though we have increased funding, We don't know how much of that funding is going to be tied to a categorical, that we have no say-so in that. And that's what hamstrings our district so much, is because we cannot use that money for salaries. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so awful about STARS. Silly thing. I'd like to know, you know, that when a little more clarity, I think, in the months to come about the Florida Classroom teacher compensation and how that's going to be done. Because a lot of times they'll say this money, but they don't tell us how to do it. Or DOE has to interpret what the state legislature does, and then we have to second guess what the DOE says. So that, too, as our team goes up there, would be nice to have specifics on how we're to distribute that so it's fair for everyone. And I also thought it was very interesting, if you look at what the governor says, that we could have free and clear with the lottery. But it's only $206,000. Most people think we get all that money from the lottery, and we don't. The state has taken control of the lottery, and they distribute to enhance education what they see fit. We just don't receive it. So, and that 200, what is it, 206? Can't see where I found it in the thing.
Yeah, it's on this page, page 10.
Page 10, okay, I'm on 8. All right, thank you. It's always nice to know what we do with that $206,455. It's not a whole lot.
No.
I don't even think it, no way can it put in an air conditioning unit. It doesn't touch concrete in a driveway. So we have to, I think, educate our, at least let our public know where this money, they see us getting it, but what is it being used for, and how we're tied and how little we get in certain areas that we can disperse to our own employees.
Yeah, the school recognition comes from the lottery as well. Mm-hmm. But, yes, that $206, it used to be distribute $5 per FTE to schools. And we used to give an advance of $2 to $3, mm-hmm. but we don't do that now because it's such a small amount that we've had to pull it back because we've given out too much.
Yeah, that's sad. Mm-hmm. It's truly sad. And I just think it's also disappointing that the DCD study keeps being postponed, because as one thing that we felt when we were selecting a superintendent, that all three nominees or candidates were from plus beneficial DCD districts. And we all knew that you'd wake up a little bit once you get here, because we are so severely punished as a result. And it does tie our hands. And I'm also concerned, where is the plus one schools in here? Are they going to be funded for next year?
The plus one schools have, the plus one hour schools,
yes,
have been funded from Title I the last 2 years.
I know, but and I know the money's been shrinking, because we had a meeting last spring about that. I was just concerned as we start getting information about funding, whether or not that plus one will be adequately funded for the 2021 school year, if it's possible.
Mm-hmm. I think in the past, now I know Dr. Fritz and I have had some conversations, you know, about Title I and looking at how some of our other money is distributed, and how, you know, there may be some changes made, but I believe that the rollover from Title I from this current year would be used to fund next year.
Well, that was supposed to happen last year, and didn't we have to give it away?
There was an issue, and we ended up having additional funds because we had the Restart grant, and or not the Restart grant, the other one, that funded tutoring, and so Title I they were able to move some of their funding money into that grant, and then they had excess. So that's what happened in the end. But I know that in the rollover projection, there is enough money set aside, estimated to that.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And the DCD, I just wanted to mention, too, because I anticipate it will change either way. I mean, even if there's nothing changed by the legislature, it's a three-year average. So, you know, it depends on whether it goes up or down a little bit, whether, you know, it will affect our funding somehow.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We're just hoping it impact us in the positive. But looking at this, and again, I thank you for this report. I think at the end of the day, Mr. Persis, you said it well. It will go back and forth. But I really do believe they're hearing the message. And in just talking to some of our delegation, it's not that we don't want to attract teachers and we don't want to pay teachers, but we're giving our novice teachers, our beginning teachers, more than some of our veteran teachers mm-hmm. who've actually been in the district 15-plus years. Mm-hmm. I know when I came on the board, our starting salary was right at $34,000. And we're not at $40,000 yet.
Right.
And so that is a major increase for someone coming mm-hmm. in next year. And so I think they understand that. And I believe that number will go down. But I do believe they are going to give money for beginning teachers because we are in such a shortage crisis. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that they are hearing that they will have to give districts, and we're advocating for Volusia, especially because we are impacted severely by DCD funding, so that we got to be able to close the gap, the achievement gap with students, we got to close the salary gaps with our teachers. Mm-hmm. So they have heard that, they are hearing that, and it's not just us, there are 54 other districts with the same issue. Mm-hmm. And so they too are saying, hey, we understand you got us, you put us in a real unique position, but whatever you do, what you do for one, you do have to do for mm-hmm. both. So
absolutely.
Whatever happens, we pray that everybody get a nice raise.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Anything else, Superintendent Fritz?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Ms. Mueller.
Thank you.
I think you're up next to item 21.01, Superintendent Fritz.
The superintendent recommends the approval to advertise the 701 finance policy. The school board, I'm sorry, I really butchered that. Can I start over?
Yes, you sure
okay.
can.
Ms. Mueller is here in front of us today to request permission for the advertisement of the school board policy 701 finance.
Sorry, my computer went to sleep. Okay. So this policy is being brought to you because of the revisions for the audit requirements. And so we had, it required revisions to our audit selection committees. It required at least three members and one board member to serve as the audit, as the chair of that committee. And it excluded any other employee, chief executive officer, chief financial officer to serve as a member of that committee, and only allow them to act in advisory capacity. So we are we have already met for our internal auditor, but now our policy is catching up with the requirements and in that matter, as well as. The actual fact that we have to have an internal auditor because we have revenues of over $500 million. So that is what the purpose of changing this policy is. The other item that is in this policy that is updated by statute is that budget amendments must be approved at the board's next scheduled public meeting. And must provide a full explanation of the budget amendments that are brought forward. We always do that, but we didn't do them on a regular basis. We would bring them throughout the year 2 to 3 to 4 times. So we will be bringing those forward as we make those on a monthly basis, and we'll have a PowerPoint that explains the what the amendments are to you. Okay.
Superintendent recommends the approval to advertise proposed amendments to Board Policy 701 Finance.
You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Is there a motion?
Madam Chair, I move that we advertise our finance policy number 701.
Second.
The motion has been properly moved and second. Any other discussion?
I have a question.
Sure. Ms. Haynes and then Mr. Cologne.
Okay, so in the board doc, in the paragraph that is not the policy itself, it talks about requiring at least 3 members to serve on the auditor selection committee and requiring the board member. But when you go into our language within the policy, which is the underlying part, number 5, nowhere that doesn't match what's in the body of the other, like they don't match. So which is it? Are we going with at least 3 members appointed by the board and someone on the board to sit? Because I sat through the selection of the auditor piece, and the 4 members that you guys proposed, that they all came and they had done their homework, which is a lot of reading, you know, to go through that proposal, because some of the proposals were over 200 pages. It was brought up at that point, there was discussion about whether or not I would be stepping down, and they asked that a board member stay on it. So I just don't know where we're at, because in the board doc piece on the agenda, it says a board member will stay there. In the policy, it doesn't say anything about a board member. It just says 5 appointed.
Just to clarify the difference, 1 is the audit committee, and 1 is actually an auditor selection committee. So the language in statute actually addresses that you cannot have a school board employee, that you have to have members of the audit committee and a school board member that would serve as the chair of that committee. So that's the audit selection committee. Now, the audit committee is what you're speaking to, and that was something that we had discussed, or you and the audit committee members had discussed. So I just want to make sure before you talk about it that it's actually 2 different.
Okay, so then the audit committee is going to be 5 members with no school board member, is what you're proposing in this policy.
That was what we talked about last time, but I know you wanted to discuss that with the board members.
So Deb brought it up to the 4 people, which you guys sent, which I'm telling you did a phenomenal job, because it was a lot of reading in a short period of time to evaluate those audit, those, you know, companies as internal auditors. And so she brought it up to them and said that, you know, I would only be there for that piece to get them through that piece, and then I would be stepping away. And what they said was they didn't feel as comfortable with that, you know, that it would just be 5, because then I would step out and put somebody in, that it would just be 5 of them with no real direction. They thought if they were going to report to the board, they felt we should have a board member on it. So I'm open to whatever it is. It's just, you know, either I step out and we go with this, and we put someone in my place, and then one of them has to actually, you know, be the glue that does the meetings, or
takes leadership.
It takes leadership.
So I have a question, and it's more geared towards you. So if she remains on that committee, and they bring forth something we have to vote on, she has to recuse herself. Am I correct?
No.
No, if she's the chair of that committee, though.
Yeah, it's just a recommending body, right?
Right.
So no, she wouldn't have to recuse.
Okay, that was my only question.
Don't you serve on a committee too? That some you.
I'm on the Volusia, the Value Adjustment Board.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to build the school.
But they're a standalone entity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're a standalone.
But that's fine, because I think we do have other boards that we report to, and we may have. It's not that often we take action. That was my question, because that committee could be an actionable item, the audit committee.
Right, yeah.
But you're saying no, so okay.
Yeah.
The actionable item would possibly be they bring forth a recommendation of here's an area that we think should be audited or we need to look at, but that we would have already, like that would be the whole committee bringing it forth. And then, yes, we would. But if they, I mean, I don't know how you're supposed to go, but if they're making a recommendation.
Okay. Yeah. Listen, yeah. That's what we paid him for. He said no, so I'm fine.
It would be similar.
The important point from a legal standpoint is you're there as an individual board member. You are not delegated the power of the board.
Correct.
To act on behalf of the board. So you're just going to be one person. You happen to be a board member when you come. highly unlikely you'll vote against your own recommendation, and the other four of you will have to decide whether it's a good idea.
Okay.
But she still gets to vote.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. Were you finished, Ms. Ames?
Yes.
Okay.
So my question, so that'll require an edit to what we're advertising, correct?
It would require an edit.
Is there a timeline that we're subject to, or is that something we could add to it tonight, which is really the same line that's in the selection committee be down in the second section?
Number 5A, that's where it talks about the composition of the audit committee. And I'm fine with a board member being on the committee. I didn't know if you still would want 5 community members appointed and that all board members would appoint somebody. I guess I'm just thinking down the road because the way we were setting it up, and it's not finalized yet, but that you appointed somebody, and then when your term is up, then you or a new board member would appoint the next person, okay? So it would coincide with your terms.
Right.
So I'm not sure that what if Jamie was no longer on the board, and then it wasn't her that had that wanted to be on the audit committee. So now that board member wouldn't have the opportunity necessarily to appoint somebody, but yet there's already somebody else appointed from another area. I just don't know if it would get complicated or everybody should appoint and then one board member would volunteer to sit on the committee.
I nominate Jamie. Yeah.
I mean,
Deb, are you sure we couldn't just change out if that situation came up? We could just change a board member?
We could change. That's why the policy is fairly vague so that we have, the audit committee charter will have more details. But it's really just deciding whether you want to have each board member recommend somebody or you're okay with 4 recommendations and 1 board member. And I'm fine either way. I mean, she did a great job. And
I guess what you're saying is let's just say that Jamie's going to be our representative. So then the other 4 of us would nominate somebody to serve. Mm-hmm. Jamie would not nominate somebody
Correct.
Because she's serving. So that would give you your 5.
And she really, in theory, could be her appointee.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yourself.
Right. I said I don't think we really have to change anything because, other than maybe putting in there that one of the board members can serve on this, but I think you would be just your appointee.
Yeah.
But all appointments are subject to the full board's vote.
Yes.
So
yes.
If
yes.
If you all didn't want her to serve, you could vote. You could say no. We don't
Correct.
Want to do that, and I'm sure it goes without saying that. When you have a committee like this, board members, from a Sunshine standpoint,
mm-hmm.
can talk to those committee members because you're not voting with them. They're a separate entity. You have give them input. They can give you input, but that will not be the case with Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
You will not be able to talk
Correct.
To her on that committee about what that committee is doing because she's part of this board as well. So.
Right.
Do you want to serve?
So you understand.
I'm happy to, only because, I've had an opportunity to meet the 4 people that you guys put on and work with them for several hours on, and they did an excellent job on selecting an internal auditor.
Yeah.
And they asked. I mean, they just said that they felt there needed to be a board member instead of just 5, 4 or 5 of them sitting down from all different.
Gives unity.
So we got to edit it.
So
I think
we can advertise with direction, and then that way it's not that big. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. That way it's not that big of a change because the discussion's been had.
I think from what Mrs. Wright said, and I think she pointed that out, that if the language is okay, but you would have to nominate her to serve on the committee.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
Right.
Mr.
She would have to if we approved her to serve, she would nominate herself. And so then we really wouldn't have to worry about changing the language at all.
Right.
Because she would be her appointee.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Okay. So we're good?
Okay. So we would just, we need this this motion, and then we need a motion to for her to.
Right. We have the motion on the floor.
I made a motion.
Yes.
I think it's been seconded. This
right.
was discussion.
And this is discussion. Okay. Any other discussion?
No, just to clarify that mm-hmm. there isn't anything in the current language that would preclude a board member from nominating him or herself.
No, that is correct.
So that's
according
all
to what I'm reading. Am mm-hmm. I interpreting this correctly?
I haven't reviewed the document. Well, I don't read everything that you guys do. You don't want to pay me to do that. But so I would have to sit there and read it. Does it say anything about
no, it, from what I've read, from what you all read, it's not precluding. We just get to appoint someone for our district.
Yeah.
Or for, we have a designee for representing us, and she can be her designee.
If you just read 5A, I think that's, and if Ted says 5A works.
And so this was, 5A says the audit committee. An audit committee will be established pursuant to the state statute. The audit committee will compose of five community appointees recommend one by each member of the board and shall be approved by the majority vote of the board.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those that oppose? Ayes have it, and the motion is carried. So you're free to advertise.
Okay.
Now, are we going to nominate her?
So now,
no,
because we can do that after it's advertised. We can come back and nominate her after it's advertised.
Okay. Okay.
Superintendent Fritz, policy action item, or policy 801?
I got 403, 2102. Yes, I'm going to have Kim McKinney, coordinator for recruitment and retention, come forward for the advertisement proposed amendments to school board policy 403, best and brightest.
Kimberly McKinney, recruitment and retention. I'm here today to request to advertise for policy 403. As you know, the best and brightest program did change quite a bit this year, and one of the directives was that the school board establish a policy for the recognition portion of the best and brightest. We met several times with Elizabeth Albert and her entire BU team and came up with the policy. Best and brightest recognition funds are to be awarded to individuals who are instructional personnel under 1012.012 Florida statute and are rated as highly effective or effective on their summative or final evaluation for the year immediately preceding the award. So again, I request to advertise for this policy, please.
Superintendent Fritz.
Superintendent recommends approval to advertise the proposed amendments to the school board policy 403, best and brightest.
You've heard the superintendent recommendation. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
The motion has been properly moved and second. Any discussion?
I have a question.
Sure.
Ms. McKinney.
Yes, ma'am.
It says, who are instructional personnel, their previous year, there's nothing in here that, I guess it's assumed they're still employed. What if the person retires? Do they not get it?
You know, I think they have to be at the school this year as well, but I will check the entire language and the recommendation for that. Now, one big difference between the other awards, this does include being instructional personnel, paraprofessionals, and things of that nature, which is nice. But I will check with you on, I will check the language on that and email you.
Okay, and it just trying to prevent a surprise. If someone earns it, they should be able to get it.
Yes, ma'am.
Even though they're out because of drop or
yes, ma'am. I understand. A lot of the best and brightest, and I do not want to misspeak. That's why I'm not saying without checking this evening. But a lot of them do say preceding year and currently still employed at that school.
That's
but
not
I
there.
Will double check that and be in touch.
Okay. Any other discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Those that oppose? Ayes have it, and the motion is carried. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
At this time, we have another public participation. Do we have any cards? Here, having none, we will recess this meeting and move right into our leasing co-op meeting. We're going to recess. We're going to go to action item 23.02, and we reconvene our corporation meeting, the election of secretary. Thank you. Superintendent Fritz?
So move that we nominate Dr. Fritz for secretary.
Second.
The motion has been properly moved and second. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Those that oppose? Ayes have it. And that motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. And now we will recess. We will adjourn our leasing corp and reconvene our regular school board meeting. We're down to item 24.01, items from school board members. Who would like to start this evening? Go ahead, Mr.
So, as I was sitting here earlier and we had great news with our graduations, I was reminded of last year, Dr. Fritz, and so I just wanted to share this with you guys. Our district only does one graduation a year. And so we had had one student from Deltona High who I'll never forget till the very last minute. The mom was, you know, sending me messages saying she's going to get it done, and she didn't get it done. And so I didn't know in the past if we had ever done that or if we could get a consensus to possibly do. I know Miami-Dade County does a May, June, end-of-the-year graduation. They do an August graduation, and they also do a January graduation in order as students finish. And so, you know, for this mom, it was unfortunate in our culture that graduation sometimes is the first graduation. Mm-hmm. And so not being able, in fact, she messaged me the other day and said, hey, is it going to happen? Are we doing it? I said, guys, we just got a new superintendent. But I wanted to bring that up because I think that's, you know, important to our families, and I think it could be pulled off even if it were at one of our high schools for the whole district on those dates. So I didn't know if anybody had any objection to that, but just something that came to mind.
Any colleagues? And then I'll come to you, Dr. Fritz. Any of you?
I think it's a great idea because, you know, sometimes that's the first person that's going to graduate in that family, and you hate to see a student miss the May graduation, mm-hmm. you know, by a credit, and then they finish it over the summer, or they're able to finish it by December, and then they don't hang around, you know, to get that honor. And so I know it says a lot for parents, and I think, so I'm in support if we want to consider the idea.
Okay. Carl, Linda?
Yeah. I'd like to get Dr. Fritz's thoughts on it, if you did anything like that.
I'm actually, thank you for bringing this up, because I'm actually shocked that we don't do a summer graduation. Yes, that's something that I'm familiar with and that we've always practiced. Sometimes students don't make that mark, as you pointed out. And so we will have a very robust credit recovery program in the summertime for our seniors. And I'm going to tell you, it's multiple reasons. It's one, it's good for kids. But here's what the public doesn't always know. You get every graduation point as a district to the day up before pre-planning. So we are going to have a very robust program, and we will certainly have a summer graduation honoring the work of those students. Thank you for bringing that forward, and we will put that in motion. And it is done at one site. Usually they all come together. So that's how we'll start to work it.
So just so I'm clear, so it'd be one site, one time, sometime before the new school year starts? Is that?
Yes, usually you do it at the end of July. Because you want to give the students enough time to work. Many of them finish right after, as you pointed out. They finish 2 or 3 weeks later. But as we have a very robust, high-quality recovery program, credit recovery program, one that's used across Central Florida, the same program. So there's no reason why we couldn't do that and work this summer to help those students and then have a one ceremony. If we needed two, we would do two, but I don't think we would need to. I think one would work.
Sounds good.
I totally agree. I was going to ask the same question that he put in. So thank you, Mr. Persis.
And so I have a similar question. So you said as long as we get it done before pre-planning, is that correct?
If you get it done before pre-planning, those graduation numbers actually count for the school. And for
okay.
And so that's just an assessment piece. We want the students to finish. They finish at Labor Day. That's good for them. But also the rationale behind that is if they finish before pre-planning, there's still enough time to do something else if they want to go and enroll in Daytona State or someplace else. So we really push them to do that.
I was just trying to weigh out August versus a December. But I guess for beneficial, it would be beneficial to the district to have that August.
And your number for December is minimal. You really don't have too many students, but you have a lot in the summertime.
Okay.
Finish. Sounds good.
Yeah, all right. Sounds great.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Persis, anything?
I just want voice. Let me get some more microplastics in my body.
I know when I heard that.
I feel better now. Gail would kill me, Ms. Chapman.
And you're a pound heavier.
Anyway, what was I going to say? Well, first of all, I've been in Lake Placid the last 4 or 5 days. I just came back last night. So I am thawing out, and I'm catching up. And I did have a red beanie on yesterday, but had nothing to do with the rally. It was to keep my ears from freezing to death. But I just wanted to say to Dr. Fritz, I'm just real pleased with the people that you're bringing on board. I hope they understand that they're going to be working with the great senior staff here that we have in place, as well as all of the teachers out there that are working so hard. We have a super group of employees, and I know they're going to like you as much as you're going to like them. So thank you again for bringing those people into our district. I'm just so positive about this 2020 year. I see so many good things coming in, and I just couldn't be more excited, and it's always a pleasure to work with this board.
Ms. Haynes?
So I'm excited about Friday night.
Yes.
And the fact that we're going to honor all of our teachers. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to that, as I know all of you are, and the fact that we're going to get to hear Dr. Fritz speak to all of our teachers, it's a great thing.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Wright will be speaking too. But for all of you that are out there this week, what I would say is do something, even if it's just a word or a note, do something for those teachers of the year on your campus. You know, just let them know that they're loved and honored. And I know schools, you know, every school has their own thing that they do. But even parents, you know, or community members, you know, it's an opportunity to tell them thank you, and we're looking forward to Friday night and celebrating them.
Okay. Madam Vice Chair.
Hello. I, too, am very grateful for our new administrators. I also encourage you to go out and visit our schools because it gives you a whole new sense. Correct, Dr. Fritz?
Yes, ma'am.
When you go out and visit those schools and you see actually what goes on on the ground, and get on a bus and travel a route and visit transportation, shadow Mr. Aiken one day and see what his life is like. I don't know how much he'd be able to pay attention to you. He's pretty busy. But it's amazing what this county is, and that's one reason why I taught here 26 years, and within a year and a half, I ran for office because I was not ready to finish serving our Volusia County schools. And one of the greatest things that happened to me is when I got my 30-year pin last spring. And so it's very important for us to know who we serve. So I thank you for coming on board, and I'm sure you're looking forward to knowing who our people are, especially our students. I would like to have ABM come and talk to us. At one time, we had Aramark come and give us reports, and then GCA gave us some reports. I would like to talk to ABM.
You got it.
I'm not happy with ABM, and I think it's just the system. I just want their employees to be treated better, to be paid more, and because there's too much inconsistency. And they need, there need to be supplies put into our schools. Our carpets need to be vacuumed. I just would like to hear a little bit more about their contract. I would like to, because it was, 5 years ago I sat here and we had a Aramark come in and I discovered that power washing, pressure washing, was not in their contract. And I was very surprised. When you don't have pressure washing in a contract for a cleaning company, I think there's something wrong. So I would like us to re-examine ABM and to see how we're going to go forward with our services, how we keep our schools clean, as well as our curb appeal, how that's working as well. So, and I also want to thank Futures Foundation, who are supporting and sponsoring our Teacher of the Year banquet Friday night. It is the most exciting, raucous time you will ever have. Make sure you bring earplugs, because the enthusiasm at every table is just so energetic. It just carries us out through the rest of the school year. So Happy New Year to everyone, and thank you very much.
I did have a chance to walk with Ms. Cuthbert, and Denise is working with each of the board members, because I think it's important for us to walk together in our schools, so we will get that on the calendar for the spring. But I just want to say thank you to the board for the support you've shown this evening with the appointments. I said this to Cabinet on Monday, and I'm going to continue to say it. We are going to work harder than we've ever worked before, but we're going to have a really good time doing it. So thank you.
Dr. Fritz and I unfortunately had another engagement, so we didn't get a chance to go to the round table for the elected officials. So look forward to taking him to that meeting. We normally meet the second Monday of each month. So that is pretty interesting. But for Futures Foundation, I have a ticket for all 5 of you for the raffle for $100 for a giveaway or something. So I will bring the ticket on Friday and place it in your hand. And you can sell the ticket. You don't have to buy it. You can sell it or buy it, but it's a raffle for our April event, the
Caribbean party.
Well, hey, I'm representing you, so I just bring you what you what we're supposed to do. They'll raise funds. So. But that is all. Again, Happy New Year, and we look forward to seeing everybody on Friday. Have a good evening. This meeting is adjourned.